Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Tuesday, December 4th. I'm Ray Graff. Are you in the market for a new home? Maybe you plan on putting your property for sale? Well, you're in luck. We have our two real estate professionals in the studio, the dynamic duo, to answer your questions. Alexander Monticello of Monticello Real Estate and Renata Lewis of Keller Williams Capital District. They are here and they are waiting for your questions. Give us a call at 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Or you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. That's the email address. The number, once again, 800-348-2551. Renata, Alexander, and your real estate questions coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Are you buying or selling a home or residential property? If so, you are in great luck today. We have two real estate pros in the studio to answer your questions. Alexander Monticello of Monticello Real Estate is here. He specializes in residential sales for buyers and sellers in the Capital Region. Renata Lewis is with Keller Williams Capital District, also leads the Renata V. Lewis team. She is a go-to source for real estate industry insight and advice. Our number, if you need some industry insight and advice, is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Again, the number, 800-348-2551. Alex and Renata, welcome back to the show.
Hi, happy holidays. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Smoothly done, both of you. Yeah, worked that out in rehearsal. Renata, you sent me some notes. I like this. Now, this I find interesting. Across the Capital Region, supply remains low in most markets and categories. That means buyer demand continues to show there's room for growth. We haven't seen the peak of this buyer demand yet, I guess, huh?
No, we haven't. We're continuously struggling with inventory. So continues to be a strong seller's market. We are peaking, I believe, at market values.
What does that mean?
Meaning buyers, we're coming to a point where buyers are outpricing themselves from the market. Interest rates going up a little bit higher, inflation, they're not getting the pay raises that they've expected. So there's got to be a balance that's going to come together. Alex, what do you think?
I tend to agree. I think
he's pulling his notes.
He brought notes.
I brought some notes too.
And by the way, if you're scoring at home, his notes are on a small post-it note. Well done.
I wrote this down because you asked me some questions last time that
really?
I didn't know the answers to.
Okay.
So, month supply of inventory, which I think is a good metric to measure the balance of the market. I think it hit a low point earlier this year in March, and we're now currently at 5.4 months supply of inventory. I think we talked about that last time.
And inventory drops at this time of year?
It does, and as does buyer activity.
So just to piggyback on that 5.4 months of inventory, 6 months of inventory is a balanced market. So we're just underneath that 6 months, meaning it's still a seller's market. So we're really watching that just to see where we're going to end up in 2019.
How about new construction?
It's been high. New
construction. Really? I thought that was dropping
well across
the nation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, across the nation, too. I mean, month supply of inventory, I heard, was 7 point something.
Yeah.
Our market is usually in the bad times doesn't do as bad, and as the good times doesn't do as well.
Well, that's good.
So it's a little bit more of a balanced market here in the Capital Region.
The number here is 800-348-2551. Alexander Monticello and Renata Lewis here to answer your real estate questions. Let's go over to Joe in Schoharie. Joe.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. Yes, I'm calling because I heard from a friend that burying a St. Joseph figurine might help facilitate the sale of one's home.
Really?
That's
like
true.
To know if, yes.
Only if it's upside
heard
down,
anything
though.
About that?
Yeah, only if it's upside
only
down.
Only if it's upside down.
Now, wait a minute. Is this some superstition that you have in the real estate business?
It is. It is.
Wow.
And listen, if the house is not selling and we're asking for that extra miracle, this is exactly what we're doing.
Wouldn't it not be sacrilege to bury St. Joseph upside down?
It's a little write-up.
Unless you're selling a house, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
There is that exception.
There. Joe, do you have an actual question, or was that it, man?
That was it. Also, where one might be available.
A St. Joseph's figurine? Ah, that's a good question. I don't know.
You can get them online, and you can get them at any... and any, I think, I believe any Catholic chapel or little stores
right.
that are out there.
Well, Joe, thank you for that very interesting way to start the program
here. I wanted to ask Joe if he was trying to sell a house that wasn't selling.
Oh, you know, and we Joe let Joe back. Go after that. Very, very interesting. The number is 800-348-2551. Well, as if you recall, last show we had an interesting question about burying bodies in the lawn.
Let's not go there.
And well, we might as well. And all so right. apparently now, Alex, you've done some research on this, and you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah, well, at least in New York State,
okay.
Department of Health regulates the burying of bodies.
And yeah.
So it's not legal to bury a body on your own property.
I got to tell you, this was a very big discussion in my office after
really?
The show.
Yes, You're
it
kidding
was.
Me.
Yes, it was. Well, it was an interesting conversation, and I don't think it one that we've ever really talked about. But we did come to the same conclusion that it's not legal in New York State, and it really just shouldn't be done.
All right, fair enough. Alexander Monticello, Renata Lewis here. It's a real estate program and whatever else at this point. 800-348-2551 is the number. You mentioned the... buyer demand staying strong here in the capital region. What's the hottest area right now of the Albany, Troy, Schenectady, Saratoga region right now?
Well, I just did a hottest zip code. I do like a monthly newsletter that goes out. So last month's newsletter was the hottest zip code that was selling. It was actually Clifton Park.
Yeah.
So, but I believe it's a very big area. It's a very big school district. So I guess if you balance it out to the population, number of houses... but that was one of the zip codes.
That's
that
new homes or existing homes?
It's both.
Yeah.
Yep. It wasn't differentiated.
And I think it also matters the price range, too. I think what we're seeing, there's still a large demand for homes between $250,000 and $350,000 in our market.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the largest segment of the buyers are.
And keep in mind, school districts are really a big part of when resale and values. So I think the higher rated school districts tend to be an area where people gravitate towards as
so
well.
It's truly location, 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 the old
yes,
axiom.
For sure, for sure.
That's very interesting. And the St. Joseph thing I find very interesting. How many, okay, while we're waiting, we have a couple of calls about to come in. How many, what percentage of the people that you represent as sellers say, oh, well, we better bury the St. Joseph's figurine?
Actually, I don't think...
You've never done it?
Maybe less than 1%.
Really? What about
yeah.
you, Renata?
Yeah, I probably 5%.
Really?
Well, it comes up in conversation, for sure.
More
I can't
so, believe
I mean,
it.
Now it's a seller's market, so everything's moving fairly quickly.
Yeah.
You know, going back 5-7 years, you know, when we had a, you know, buyer's market for about 3-4 years, probably 3 years, there were some homes that were, you know, the days on the market was at 100, you know, 220.
Yeah.
And listen, every little thing helps. Why
so
not?
He was the patron saint of crappy real estate? Was that
I guess.
Amazing. Well, let's go back to the
we'll
phone.
We'll have to research it.
Jennifer in Albany. Jennifer, you're on.
Thank you. I appreciate you taking this call. I my question is this. It's not about St. Joseph, although I knew that story. And I knew you had to put it upside down. So he wasn't asking a really strange question.
Okay, fine. Okay.
But my question is this. I'm going to be in the home that I am in probably for another 2 years. When we bought it, we knew we weren't going to be in it forever. And in the meantime, we're fixing it up and getting it ready to resell. My question is, how neutral do I have to go? I mean, I still have to live in it. How creative can I get and still live in it without just whitewashing the whole thing?
I think the big thing is less is better. Obviously, you're living there. When it comes to any color choices, make sure that they're more of a neutral tone. I'm not saying I have to be white.
Why? Now, why?
It appeals to the most buyers out there. If you like yellow and you paint everything yellow and somebody hates yellow, they're not going to.
But what if somebody really likes yellow?
Right. When someone's looking at a house, they want to be able to see themselves in it. They don't want to see
exactly,
you in it.
Exactly. So, you know, start right. packing, you know, just fixing up the little odd ends. You know, if you're going to do
that's
the
what we're doing. That's what we're doing. You know, we painted rooms by rooms, but we were going with a gray palette. I wanted to put in a gray wallpaper. My husband thinks it will decrease our selling options.
What do you think, Alex?
You know, I would avoid wallpaper.
Why?
Well, A couple reasons. I think most buyers still have an aversion to wallpaper. And the problem is it's much harder for a potential buyer to pull the wallpaper down and prep the wall than it would be to change the color. If you do wallpaper, I would say confine it to maybe a bathroom or a smaller room.
But it's a hallway.
Yeah, well, depending on the hallway, it could be a larger project if it goes up the stairs. So, you know, I would use paint instead of wallpaper.
I think putting I think putting wallpaper up is going to be more costly on your end as well. I would say use that resource and save the money in fixing up bathrooms and kitchens, because that's where the biggest bang for your money is when it comes to resale.
Right. Okay.
Well, good luck, Jennifer. We appreciate the call. The number here is 800-348-2551. It's Real Estate Today with Renata Lewis and Alexander Monticello. And then we'll get into the whole wallpaper thing when we get back. Maybe some of that nice wood paneling. Remember this stuff from the 70s? Yeah, great. All right, we'll be back. I don't know. I like that wood paneling.
Yeah, me too.
Dan in the old days.
Listen, it's the new name is shiplack.
Well, I'm sorry?
Right?
Can you say that on the radio?
Shiplack.
Oh, I see. Okay. Renata Lewis is here working the blue material. Also, Alexander Monticello, and it's 800-348-2551. Real Estate Today on the program, 800-348-2551. Or email at voxpopwamc.org. This one came in from Claire in Ulster County. As a rule of thumb, do your real estate experts recommend, one, investing in the remodel of an outdated kitchen or bathroom to add value and appeal to a home's sale, or two, save on the expense and expect a lower home sale since the new homeowner will want to remodel in their own way? A very good question, Claire in Ulster County.
I would say do it, but do it at minimal cost. So I believe an article I just recently read, if finish a kitchen and try to spend less than $6,000 on it, it will improve it to a point where it's going to be more appealing to a buyer. A buyer may not need to do the remodel immediately, and they're not going to put a big price tag on it when they're negotiating or when they're purchasing that home. So I'd say do it, minimal cost, and you will get more market value for your home. What do you think, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you can redo a kitchen for $6,000, it's totally worth doing. I think it's a little, it depends. I think it can be hard to do a decent remodel under that price point. But there may be some smaller things you can do. Maybe it's just painting the cabinets, changing
right.
out the countertops and fixtures. And so if you have decent appliances in place and you have decent cabinets in place, you know, countertops, hardware, maybe a new sink, that could go a long way.
I guess a facelift, that's what I was trying to
right.
say, instead of a complete rehab redo, yes.
Right, okay. Right.
This one came in from Alan. I don't know where Alan is writing from. Alan writes, my 92-year-old father is looking to move out of his 60-year-old house. It has not been updated aesthetically since my mom passed away 17 years ago. It is a 1,500-square-foot ranch located on a hill, and you have to go up steps to reach the main floor. The roof is fairly new, and it has been vinyl-sided. In order to prepare this house for sale, how much should I put into upgrading it, or am I better off selling it for a lower amount as is? So two similar questions.
Where's the property located?
It doesn't say.
Okay.
Does not say.
I mean, generally, you know, I would say a fresh coat of paint, if there's carpeting. And sometimes if it's an older ranch, there might be hardwoods under the carpeting. Get rid of the carpet. The hardwoods might be in decent shape.
Yeah.
It could be quickly polished up.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't recommend putting in too much money. As Renata mentioned, you can overimprove these houses, then it's hard to get it all back. So small adjustments or facelifts are probably the way to go.
Real Estate Today on Vox Pop. Renata Lewis is here and Alexander Monticello. The number is 800-348-2551. Let's go over to our buddy Jim in North Pownell, Vermont. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Ray. How are you? Good. You guys are doing a great job, and I totally appreciate the fact that you're out there on the airwaves.
Well, thanks.
I'm here in Vermont, and I am the health officer for the town of Vermont. And
the town of Vermont?
The town of Pownell.
Ah, okay,
fair enough. And I have actually certified a couple of human burials which are allowed.
Really?
In Vermont, yeah. New York State, you can't do it. Massachusetts, you can't do it. But Vermont still has the chutzpah to
yeah.
to allow human burials on your own property.
Well, what do you have to do to get a certification besides, obviously, a corpse?
Well, I have to go and I have to observe a test pit. I have to have somebody, you know, dig a test pit with a backhoe and certify that the remains will not pollute the water table.
Oh, interesting.
And Vermont is one of the few states in the entire United States that allows human burials on private property.
Jim, I got to say, every time you call, you have an interesting fact, and this might be the most interesting one. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
And believe me, upgrade the kitchen, upgrade the bathroom, and sell the house.
All right. Yeah, do the burial, then sell the house. Hey, Jim, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. Our number is 800-348-2551. James in Hudson. James.
Hi, I wanted to, yeah, the caller before just said kitchen, bathroom. I would say make sure the things work, the plumbing works. But I would say people rip out all the original features, and the first thing that a new owner is going to do is put in their own vision of a kitchen. And if you can save anything that's an original feature, that's a big seller. For people that I know, because they're trying to move their kitchens back into the 20s and 30s and even 50s and 60s.
Depends on the house, Jim. Oh, James. Depends on the house.
I don't think much about the 70s.
Yeah, well, that's the point. Let's see what our pros say.
A lot of that is coming back. And it's true. It really – so – you know, if somebody's putting in a $50,000 kitchen, you can't expect to get $50,000 back. So even though we continuously say kitchen and bath sell, be careful how much money you spend on doing it, especially if you're doing it just for the resale purpose. If you're going to do a really beautiful kitchen and enjoy it for the next 10 years, that's one thing. However, if you're saying to me, hey, Renata, I'm thinking about selling my house next year, what should I do? I'm not going to tell you to put in a $50,000 kitchen. I'm going to say update it, maybe throw a new granite countertop on it, maybe, you know, new stainless steel appliances, a little paint coat, or maybe a backsplash. You know, do not spend a lot of that money because we will not be able to get that back for you.
I've seen a lot of those horror stories, and I think less is more in this case.
Yes, agree with you 100%.
That's the advice I would give.
Yes, and I do agree with you as far as the mechanicals and, you know, the roof, the HVAC systems.
Yeah.
Very important that they work and, you know, and make appraisal and inspections.
All right. Well, thanks, James. We appreciate the call. 800-348-2551. Anytime you want to jump in, Alex, you just go right ahead, okay?
Thank you.
I don't have to point to you or anything. You just jump right in, all right? Let's go to Mike in Orange County. Mike, you're on.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. You know, I have a home for sale. We decided to put our home for sale, and we live on a lake, a beautiful lake, and where you can have motorboats and racing boats and every other thing you can imagine, from pontoon boats. I put a new kitchen in. Well, my son-in-law put a new kitchen in about 3 years ago, and it was in the $40,000 range. It's a beautiful home, beautiful lake home, and all open, inside. All the rooms are huge. Driveway goes right into the lake. We have our own launch. We're not getting too many bites on the home. Now, I'm curious. I would think that people would, you know, lakefront property is, in demand, and I'm not finding that.
Mike, when did you put the house on the market?
About 3 months ago. I thought the house would have sold, like, the day I put it on the market, to tell you the truth, because it's a gorgeous home. I mean, to give you an idea, our living room is 27 foot by 15 by 16 foot. The dining room is 27 foot by 16 foot. It's just a really open home.
Well,
and you look right outside, you can almost jump in the lake. I don't know if you've known Orange Lake at all.
No. Is it a second home market? A lot of people have cottages on the lake or homes on the lake, it as a second home?
It was a cottage many, many years ago,
right.
But we bought it from a doctor who had redone the whole thing, including septic and all this. So the home has been really upgraded. But the kitchen was a little, so we decided to go ahead and put the new kitchen in.
Well, so Mike, but, a couple things to consider. It might be just a function of the season. If you put it on 3 months ago, you may have just missed the market.
Right.
So
I was thinking.
I think like homes with pools, lakefront property tends to sell a little better when it's warmer out. So spring and summer would be really the peak time to put it on the market.
Yeah,
I would think, now as it gets colder, unless it's a winter lake market like up north,
well,
you may not
what,
get as much attention.
That's what I'm saying. On the lake itself, the winter is just as popular as the summer because we have a race boat, a sailboat race boats that the club is over 100 years old. It's all ice skating because the lake is not really, really deep. It's maybe about 30 foot deep, so it freezes up nice. So it's like a winter wonderland out there too for ice fishermen. We've had people that come in, that are a member of the association that put tents up in the lake and stay there for like 3-4 days, doing the ice fishing and all that.
Well, now,
so
let me ask you a question.
It's just as active in the winter as it is in the summer,
tremendous,
believe it or not.
Tremendous. Let me ask our realtors a question. Now, you say the odds are better for Mike to move this house in the warmer weather months. Does it harm him if he just leaves it on the market?
It really depends on, what is the average days on the market that homes are selling locally. So that's
Do you have a scarlet letter if you leave it on the market for too long?
It could be. It could be. Listen, if the average days on the market is 200 days, then you're early on in the selling game. So talk to your agent and figure out what the average days on the market is, when you should expect for this house to expect a buyer. Talk about price point. Are you maybe a little bit too high for the price point? Where are you as far as your competition or anything else that's on the market?
Yeah.
And, it seems to me from what you've explained, it's probably a luxury market. So your buyer pool is a lot smaller than, per se, a regular resale market.
Yeah, and I think especially if it's a luxury market, it's a second home purchase. The stock market is cratering today, right? So a lot of these people who are purchasing second homes, they're going to be even more influenced by fluctuations in, say, the stock
market.
But
in general, it's been a good, last couple of years, there has been an uptick.
Absolutely.
So I would say 1 day of stock market going down 600 is going to affect the real estate market.
Not 1 day, but we've had several days, right, of a lot of market
fluctuations. There has been some uncertainty.
All right. So... Yeah, he might want to take it off. If this is not the right time to sell, he might want to take it off and list it in the spring.
Number here is 800-348-2551. Alexander Monticello is here and Renata Lewis answering your real estate questions today. And let's go to Joan in Beckett. Joan.
Yes, I have a question. I'm getting ready to put my house on the market, and a friend of mine suggested that I contact 3 or 4 realtors so that I could find somebody that I'm really comfortable with. And I guess I was always under the impression you just look at, the recent sales record of the realtor company and go with that. So I'd like you to comment on her suggestion.
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, so a couple things. I think I always tell people it's the individual realtor, I think, matters a lot. So it's the company can make a difference, but you're really interviewing individual realtors because each realtor has a different type of work ethic or marketing plan.
In baseball, you can see a batting average. Can you go and see records and say, okay, well, your average is this, this, and this?
You can request that information. I think the best thing you can do is just ask them, how do they market their listings? They can show you examples of homes they've sold, and you could take a look at them to see how they've marketed other homes. But I think it's also a good idea to get 2 or 3 people in the house just to get different opinions.
I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Renata.
I think talking to your friends, local friends that have sold previously, who they liked, I think it's important, the references to have those as well.
I would assume that the signs with the pictures probably help a great deal. In other words, when you have a for sale or a sold sign, everyone notices, oh, so-and-so sold that house.
It's true. It's true.
Number here is 800-348-2551. Renata Lewis is here, Alexander Monticello, and your real estate questions. And now Susan in Massachusetts. Susan.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I heard part of the show here where you were talking about kitchens and how they help the house sell. And I've been asking my husband to redo our kitchen forever. What's the likely? I mean, how much is a bad kitchen going to hurt us in a sale? I'm still dealing with the original cabinets that are in the kitchen, and the house was built in the 1960s. Those cabinets are bowed.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Susan.
Yeah. I think it is important to improve them if you're not going to fully update it. Kitchen.
How can you improve the inside if they're like, you know what I mean? The shelves are like, you know, curved.
Yeah. Well, yes, if it's that bad, I think that we would probably need to be talking about a new kitchen. I mean, there's ways of you know, doing it, whether it's just going through more of a manufactured company that it's going to be a little bit less to put them in, or working with less cabinets and more shelving. I mean, there's creative ways of doing that. On average, on average, I think that's where people like to entertain. That's where people look. You know, that's the value of the houses. As soon as I walk into a kitchen with buyers, you know, they either are like, oh, my God, this is great, or, oh, wow, this is horrible.
Right.
And we don't know if we want to pay all this money to update it. So if it's not updated, they are throwing a lot of money on the table and thinking we can't afford to do this. So it could hurt you.
Right. Okay. Well, that's good ammunition for me to bring to my husband. Thank you.
Good luck.
Good job, Susan. I mean, another thing you could do is get prospective buyers with bad eyesight, right?
Yes.
And trudge them through the house. Hey, look how beautiful this is. Mike in Vermont. Mike, you're on.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just had two follow-up comments, one related to the burial.
Oh, terrific.
I went to a presentation at Solarfest one time in Vermont, and they had a gentleman there explaining the whole burial process.
Yeah.
And I said, the one caveat is when you go to resell the house, most likely you're going to have to exhume that and put it in a cemetery anyway.
Really?
So it'll add into the, well, who wants to buy a house with a piece of property with a dead body on it?
There are a lot of weirdos out there, dude. You never know. You really never know.
But they said that's one thing you got to think about. And then the other comment with designing or figuring out to do the kitchen or the bathroom ahead of time, does it make sense to talk to a designer and have a rough draft of maybe a design and throw that in as part of the selling point and say, hey, listen, this is what it will cost ahead of time?
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I mean, I think there are some times where there's improvements that you don't want to do, but you could put together a plan. But I think if you did put together a design plan, I mean, the only downside in that is there might be sticker shock, right, on how expensive the remodel of the kitchen is. So if you could talk to a designer who can put together a more affordable plan, that would probably be the best course.
You know, the thing is, again, depending on the price point that you're in, if you're in that $250 to $350 or less, the buyers don't have the liquid money to do the work once they buy the house. So the choices and the decisions that they're making is, okay, if we purchase this house and we're maxing out our budget,
is it ready to go?
We are not able to afford to put in even a $6,000 or $7,000 kitchen. So if you put that $6,000 or $7,000 kitchen or even a $10,000 kitchen, can we get you $10,000 more? Probably. And we're going to be able to sell it to a bigger buyer pool because now they don't have to come up with the liquid money to do the renovations themselves because they really don't have them between the closing costs, their down payment, and getting into probably their first home or maybe a little bit of a bigger home. They're maxed out.
Yeah.
And that's where we come into these issues.
I agree. Yeah, I think Renata's right. If you're in the $250 to $350 price range, keeping it around $5,000 for a kitchen remodel makes more sense.
All right, Mike, thank you for the call. We'll take a quick break here. Our guests, well, let's see. We have Renata Lewis here. We have Alexander Monticello here. And if you call, you'll be here as well. The number is 800-348-2551. Real Estate Today on the show. Home Stretch next. We'll be right back. You like the wah-wah pedal there, Zach the engineer? Yeah, that's pretty funky here for a real estate program. It's a Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. The number's 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Renata Lewis is here. Alexander Monticello's here. Renata Lewis is always the less is more. Get all your crap out of the house before you try to sell your house. We've heard it before on this program. Christmas time, what do? You got the lights up. You got the wreaths. It looks like Santa's workshop in my house right now. What do if you try to sell it this time?
So there's two angles on this. Some will say the house looks beautiful selling during the Christmas time, the holiday time, because it's pretty. You have nice lights. It's nice decorations.
Yeah.
And then you have that buyer or that seller that goes crazy Christmas and throws up Christmas all over.
Have you seen my house?
No, I haven't yet.
Have you been to Santa's workshop? Sure.
So be careful. Yes, we can show it during Christmas and when it's marketed during that holiday. But be more diligent on what you put out, what it looks like, and don't overdo it.
Alex?
Yeah, I think Renata's right. Stick to white lights, I would say.
No.
I'm driving by your house tonight.
Oh, no, nothing outside, really. It's all in. You've been inside.
Yeah.
All right. So you say keep it tasteful.
Yeah, right. Keep it tasteful. And, I think also if you're thinking about putting in your house on the market now, I'm telling people at this point, since we're the first week of December, you can wait until the first week of January.
What if you can't wait? What if you say, I got to move this house?
Well, I mean, if you can't wait, You've got to put it on the market. We can do it. Generally, there's less activity right now between, say, December 15th and January 1. And there will be usually a spike in activity the first week of January.
Okay. This one comes from Jackie in Northampton. Just two emails here, and then we'll get to the phones. Jackie writes, should I sell my Northampton home next spring when my neighbor is also planning to sell her similarly sized, aged style home? Or is it best to wait another year to put my home on the market?
That's a great question. There's another option, right? You could put it on the market before your neighbor puts it on the market. So get it on the market.
That could lead to some acrimony.
Or you could sell it first
But in general, if you have a couple that are similar in the same market, is that a good thing or a bad thing? At the same time.
Well, I think it depends on what they price it at, right? If their house is priced more than yours but not as desirable, then it's a good thing for you. But if if you're not sure how they're going to price it, or if you think it's a more desirable home, you might want to list it in January, which can still be a fine time to put your house on the market.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think I would list it before your neighbor, and waiting until next year. We really can't predict what that market's going to look like.
Right.
It's been a great market for the last 3-4 years. I think you may be taking a little bit of a risk taking that long if you're ready this year.
All right. This one came in from Mary, and then we'll jump back to the phones. Mary writes, property has been in foreclosure for several years. Property manager / bank has done some work to preserve the house. I'm aware of house's history and only interested in the land as I would demolish the house. Property now is listed by owner, which is confusing. What should be my approach? And that's from Mary.
It's probably in pre-foreclosure right now. I would find out when they're actually, they call it taking bids. So I think it's during the auction time. I'm not too familiar with this, so if I'm saying something incorrectly, I apologize. The way I know it, I've been through the process several times, is if it's in pre-foreclosure, the owner is still involved. They could be accepting offers. It's worse than a short sale, but it's in between a foreclosure and a short sale. It could go into auction. However, if it goes into an auction status, the new owner is liable for all of the debt and all of the back taxes and anything else that hasn't been paid yet. So a big risk to take that on during that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably wait until the auction is, go to the auction. It's usually on the steps of the town hall. Find out who that auctioneer is. Find out who their next contact is, and then you can grab that house at that point.
Yeah, I think you want to be very careful. Two things you can do is you can get an attorney and make sure if you're purchasing the property that you have title insurance, which includes the owner policy, to make sure you're fully protected should there be any issues in the title transfer.
Mm. However, if you're mortgaging it and there is back taxes, I can't talk anymore, and there is liens and debts and encumbrances on that property, you're not going to be able to use a mortgage to buy it.
And the auctions are actually done on the steps of the town?
On the steps, yes.
Why? Why not inside?
I guess there's just no rooms. I don't know. That's where I've gone. That's where I've stood
in
cold and rain and snow.
Outside.
Pretty
much. They can't say, all right, everybody, come on inside. We'll do it inside.
Yep. And they do it really quickly. And if no one buys it, everybody just walks away. It's a 5-minute deal. Have you done that?
No, I've never been to the
auctions. We
got to
go, Alex, together.
It feels like we have jumped back in time 150 years. You got burials on properties. You got town hall steps, auctions. Oh, what? Let's just go back to the phones. Rachel in Woodstock. Rachel, you're on.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm responding or following up to the question about choice of real estate agents. And I live in Woodstock, New York, which is a highly, it's a high turnover rate, actually, because it's not so easy to live in the winters. Now, as a seller, people seem to want to just get out, and the conversation now seems to be a lot on selling your home. There are agents that actually thrive on selling homes to people who aren't necessarily going to stay in them. And so when you look at somebody's high turnover, you know, high sales rate, sometimes those are people who are actually damaging a community by putting people in those homes who aren't necessarily going to stay there and live there. So I think it's really important to find a real estate agent with high integrity. And just because they maybe give you a high number doesn't mean you're going to sell it at that number. And sometimes that's puts you in difficulty. So I just really wanted to put that out as people are selling their homes to consider whether you care about the community you're moving from or if you just want to offload your house.
Yeah, you touched on a really good point, Rachel. Whenever I'm going into a listing appointment, I'm aware that it's much easier for me to get a listing if I give a number that the seller wants to hear, right? The higher my number that I can give to the seller in terms of what we're going to list their house for, probably the greater chance they're going to hire me. But you're right. I mean, there's one thing to give them a number in terms of what you think the house is going to sell for, and then the other is what you think you can sell for in a reasonable amount of time. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good point.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Josh in Albany. Josh.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I actually I just wanted to make a quick comment. Alex, I thought, made a really good point earlier regarding the gentleman looking to sell a lake house. I think if you go back about 10 years ago, there's probably a lot of folks who invested in those types of properties. And then, when the market declined, we're left kind of holding the bag. And after about a 9 or 10 year bull run here, I'm thinking that's probably a big reason why he's having a tough time, too. I think buyers are probably getting a little bit more conservative. I just really like that that Alex had made that point. A question that I had was, as I mentioned, it's looking like we're getting closer and closer to the top of the housing market. Obviously, the whole yield curve inversion thing happened yesterday. I wanted to ask your guys' opinion because often, the housing market dips tend to start a little bit more on the West Coast, and then it takes about a year or two kind of worked their way across, whereas the Capital District, I remember reading not too long ago, Albany specifically was kind of a more recession-proof-esque time or kind of city, and I'm not sure why that is, and I was wondering if you guys could maybe offer any insight to any protections or maybe insulations we have here maybe in the Capital District or maybe New York State that maybe other housing markets don't have, and maybe why there's more fluctuation.
Yeah, so I have a couple thoughts, Josh. One is because it's the state capital, right? There's a lot of state employees. They're not subject to downturns as much as other markets. We are not subject to big booms in our real estate market, so we're not generally subject to big busts. I think during the entire downturn, the Great Recession, from 2009 to 2012. That entire period, the Capital Region real estate market prices dipped around 12 to 15%, whereas in other markets, they were, 30, 40, 50, 60%. And, we're not a second home market like some places in Florida or Las Vegas. So I think those are the main reasons. But I think the biggest thing is we don't rapidly accelerate in value, so we don't have as far to fall when things get really bad.
Agree 100%.
So you think that to some extent, all the state workers are an insulating factor in the market?
Well, I think I think that helps. That's a component. I don't think that alone will protect us. I mean, I think we are also fortunate to have many other stable industries in the Capital Region, and I think nanotechnology and the investments they've made in Saratoga County for the past 10 years have been pretty beneficial to our region.
I think the colleges are a big help. Absolutely. In this area as well. We have so many colleges very close by, which really keeps the investment market very strong, during these time frames as well. So I think we're shielded by many of the things that Alex have said. And again, we're not a very big city. So New York City can, I've sold in Long Island, so I saw those markets crash. We're shielded because we are a little bit smaller. And we have a lot to offer as far as, industry.
Renata Lewis is here, Alexander Monticello. We talk real estate. And in the waning 10 minutes or so, let's go back to the phones, 800-348-2551. Gerard in Rhinebeck. Gerard.
Hi. I have a question. I have a house I want to sell, but it has two big issues. I've hired a surveyor and an engineer to deal with them. The septic system needs to be replaced. And the neighbor's fence is on my property. I've told the neighbor, and they're willing to move the fence. I want to know if I can sell the house as is.
Without taking care of those issues?
Yes.
Well,
and letting the buyer know.
Right. I mean, full disclosure obviously is very important. However, if you're looking for a buyer that's going to be working with a mortgage, you will probably not be able to sell it without sewage, without septic system. That is a very vital part of the sale of your home. The bank needs to make sure that the roof is not leaking, that you have plumbing, and that you have, electricity and all that good stuff. So I think that will be detrimental if you don't get at least a septic done. As far as the fence, between the attorneys and maybe if you're a neighbor writes some type of a letter saying, I will move this, we know it's not our property, we know we need to move it. I think that you can get around that fairly easily, but the septic, I think, needs to be done.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good
Thanks,
luck.
Thanks, Gerard. Number here, 800-348-2551. Jackie and Byrne. Jackie, you're on.
Thanks. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I am like the earlier gentleman with the lake house, but our house is a full-time, all-year-round home.
Yep.
It's been on the market for like 2 years now. We're up in Byrne, 52 acres of land. We've got our own pond, our own five-acre pond. And I've gone through two realtors now. I mean, we're on our second. And it's considered a unique property. I can't compare it to other places because I've only had three houses on my road. And none of them are like mine. Mm. So the question I always get is, are you marketing in the city? And short of the MLS, what does that mean? I mean, we're definitely a market for people out of the city. Like Rentsville, most of the people from Rentsville are actually from New York. So, that's the question. How do you market in the city short of taking out ads in, the New York Times or whatever?
So when you say the city, you say you're referring to New York City?
Correct.
Yeah. Well, whenever I get that question and talking with a seller, my theory is, unfortunately, it's very expensive to take an ad out in the New York Times. So I don't know what the price is of your home. What's the price?
It's in the sixes.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, even at that price, it's really hard to make the numbers work if you're advertising in the New York Times. But if you market it correctly with good photos, a quality website, there's now virtual tours that you can do that will scan the entire house, and you feature it on Zillow, Trulia, Realtor.com, those ultimately are the portals that any buyer, whether you're in New York City or San Francisco, where you're going to that's where the buyers are going to go to find your house. So as long as your house is, you know, featured appropriately on those websites and the pictures are really good and there's high quality video, that often can really make the difference. I mean, we work with buyers from across the country and sometimes across the world, and they find us generally on those online portals.
Agreed. Depending on the brokerage also, the bigger brokerages have a further reach, I believe, as far as, you know, different offices and market centers that they may have in the bigger cities. So just having a bigger collaboration with the top producers in different various cities could help you as far as marketing through that portal, boosting on Facebook ads. I mean, there's different ways of advertising. It's going to take a little bit money. And, if you're doing social media boosting, you could actually track them and you have a little bit more control over it. Print advertising, we don't really necessarily know who's seeing it, how many views we've had, and it's a little bit harder to track.
All right, Jackie, good luck, and we appreciate the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. Alexander Monticello and Renata Lewis are here. Susan in Delmar is also here. Hi, Susan.
Hi, everybody. Mine is a simple question. My bathroom, it needs to be updated, and from my standpoint, I don't know if I'll ever leave. I'm a new retiree. Should I take the bathtub out because I like the newfangled showers, or leave it in case I move?
Do you have another bathtub anywhere else in the house?
I do not.
Okay. I typically say at least one bathtub should stay in the house for resale value. Mm-hmm. if you resell it to a younger family, they like the bathtub for the kids. However, if you feel you're going to stay there for a while and you're doing this update for yourself and for your own well-being and enjoyment, then go for it.
What's the style of the home,
okay,
Susan?
What's the style of the home?
It is a three. It's a three-bedroom cape, the simplest cape you could imagine, and it only has one bathroom.
And is the master...
two bedrooms are upstairs.
Oh, okay, all right. Yeah, I agree with Renata. I would say though, if you're going to be there, just go with the shower and enjoy it.
Do a nice job, tile. Do it nice, because if there's only one bathroom, and if you're doing an improvement on it, spend a little bit more maybe, because that's the only one that you can showcase, and you should be fine.
Yes.
Good luck.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Susan. Who's been waiting longest here? Looks like Ronette in Poughkeepsie. You only got about a minute here, okay?
Oh, quick question. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
If you have a water issue in the house for resale purposes, what can you do?
Fix the water issue.
Really?
Where's the water issue?
There was some flooding in the downstairs basement.
Ah, okay.
All right, so
have you figured out why it was flooding?
Not without going into the walls.
Mm. Mm. It's probably drainage. Do you have gutters on your house?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm assuming it's drainage issues and it's somehow getting into your basement. Mold becomes a concern. Wetness becomes a concern. If an appraisal happens and there's water in the basement, the bank is not going to like it. It's going to come up at the home inspection. So it's going to come up and it's going to be an issue.
So you need to get that done.
You need to at least evaluate it. Try to get somebody in there to figure out what the situation is and what the problem is. And then, not to put a Band-Aid on it, but see if there's an easy way to fix it. Otherwise, disclose it fully so at least somebody knows what the situation is.
That's good. Okay, Renata, thank you for the call. And that is it. Renata Lewis, how do people find you on the internet?
Just Google at Renata's Homes.
All right.
Thank
and
you.
Alex?
You can find us at MonticelloNYS.com.
Well, thank you both very much for being here today. Support comes from Interim Healthcare, helping people remain at home for 48 years, providing companions, aides, and nurses in the home 2 to 24 hours a day, serving the Capital Region, Columbia County, Glens Falls, and Saratoga. InterimHealthcare.com. Coldham and Hartman Architects, serving clients throughout New England and New York with architecture designed for resilience and renewability, designed for the next 100 years, CNHArchitects.com. The Preservation League of New York State, Albany, partnering in preserving historic New York through advocacy, education, grants, and loans, so our past has a future. PreserveNYS.org. And State Street Fruit Store, Deli Wines and Spirits, downtown Northampton, a locally owned, community-minded grocery and specialty food store since 1922. Wine tastings every Friday, 4 to 7, statestreetfruit.com. Thanks again to Alexander Monticello and Renata Lewis for being here today. Thank you for listening and for terrific calls and questions about burials and St. Joseph and whatnot. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Your phones were answered by Jesse King. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Stand by for news.